Our young children cannot think much further than playing, sleeping, and eating. Our teenagers are a little bit different. They're more complicated. They're more sophisticated. So they think about, if they're boys, they will think about girls. If they're girls, they'll think about boys. And they will think about sports and cars. Somewhere down the road, there's parents, house chores. And way down the bottom of the pile, bottom of the priority, there's that horrible thing called school. And when the people grow up and they get married, all of a sudden their priorities get changed, and especially when they have children, no longer priority the same as before they got married. Now that my wife and myself, we no longer have children at home, our priority is much different. And some people said, well, it's horrible to go through empty nest syndrome. I said, well, good for you. I don't have a problem. Thank you very much. I can take off any time I want. See, our priorities get changed. As a born-again Christian, our priorities should be consistent. Our priorities should not be centered around us only, but God first, others, and ourselves. Some people choose not to think about other than themselves, no matter how old they are. According to their thought, according to their opinion, everything, everyone should evolve around them. And they are selfish. I'm sure you have a few people quickly come into your mind who are no different than the one I described. This is how the Israeli people started 400 years before the Exodus. They were slavers, they are slaves, and they were in the slavery, hard bondage of in Egypt. The only thing they can look forward to the next day is another whip on their back by the hard taskmaster. However, one day, this one man who was once fugitive by the Pharaoh of Egypt showed up, and he declared that God of Israel are going to rescue them, set them free, and take them to the promised land where the milk and honey flows. After 10 horrible plagues, just about destroyed the entire country, then they were set free from the Egypt. And they were heading out to the promised land. That's where we started in Exodus 1. Of course, Moses was commissioned by God to take this great task. However, when they came to the promised land and when they arrived at Mount Sinai, I apologize, they didn't arrive in the promised land yet. When they arrived at Mount Sinai, instead of worshiping one true God, they start to worship worthless, dumb idol. Instead of turning to one real God, they turn into this creature. By mercy and only by mercy and compassion of God, 2 million people were not killed. After this incident, for a short time, these people learned who to worship and how to worship. And they put God in the midst of them. They put God in the center of their lives. All of a sudden, they realized that indeed God is the one whom they worship. Many people in this world put everything else other than God in the center of their lives. Whether it's a job, spouse, or hobby, or whatever, you fill the blank, and they put something else other than God. That's why they have a hard time in their lives. Or some of them, they say that we have a good life, but their mind, their heart is empty. They are constantly looking for something to do, something to chase, but yet they are empty. That's where we're going to come back and repeat the study one more time before we finish the book of Exodus. We'll start at the verse 1 of chapter 40, a book of Exodus, and we will pray. Heavenly Father, we want to hear from you. Not from man, but we want to hear from you. Then knowing that you are the one who's going to teach us the truth. How we can put you in the center of our lives, the first in our priority. That we follow you every step. We honor you every step. We seek you with all of our heart. Guide us, Lord. And we pray for the law enforcement officers and firefighters around this community. We're asking you to put your protective hedge around them so that they may be protected and they may be safe. And while they are protecting us, we thank you and we love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1 of chapter 40. The Lord spoke to Moses and saying, on the first day of the first month, you shall set up the tabernacle of the tent of meeting. You shall put in the ark of the testimony a partition of the ark with a veil. You shall bring in the table, arrange the things that are to be set in order of it. You shall bring it in the lampstand and light its lamps, and you shall also set the altar of the gold of incense before the ark of the testimony, and put up the screen for the door of the tabernacle. Then you shall set the altar of the burnt offering before the door of the tabernacle of tent of meeting. And you shall set the lever between the tabernacle of meeting and the altar, and put water in it. You shall set up the cord all around and hang up the screen at the court gate. You shall take the anointing oil and anoint the tabernacle and all that is in it. You shall hallow it and all its utensils. It shall be holy. You shall anoint the altar of the burnt offering and all its utensils and consecrate the altar. The altar shall be most holy. And you shall anoint the lever and its base and consecrate it. Then you shall bring the Aaron and his son to the door of the tabernacle of meeting, wash them with water. You shall put the holy garment on Aaron and anoint him and consecrate him, that he may minister to me as a priest. And you shall bring his sons and clothe them with the tunics. You shall anoint them, and as you anointed their father, that they may minister to me as a priest. For their anointing shall surely be the everlasting priesthood throughout their generations. Israel arrived at this mountain Sinai 3 months after the exodus from Egypt. So think with me. This we just read. This is the first day of first month of the second year. That means it's been a 1 year period. So they left Egypt and took 3 months to travel to the Mount Sinai. You with me so far? There's a 9 month period. First 9 month period, Moses went up to Mount Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights. You remember that? When he received the Ten Commandments. When he came down, he saw them worshiping this worthless idol. So he threw the Ten Commandments and, of course, destroyed the idol also. Then he went back up to the Mount Sinai to get the second set of the Ten Commandments. He stayed there again 40 days, 40 nights. That means he spent 80 days up there in the Mount Sinai. Almost 3 months. That means it gives a little bit over 6 months period to build tabernacle. Once when we started it, it would cost us about $13 million to build duplicate this kinds of tabernacle because there's so much gold in it. Now, it took 6 months, but they did everything according to what God said to them. A lot of people find out that some people grow, and a lot of born-again Christians never grow. Let me rephrase that. Born-again Christians are kind of divided into two groups. One who become mature spiritually, the other one who just grow older but never grow mature. Some people been in the Christ for over 10 years. They've been saved for 20 years. Yet, they are still still in the infant stage because they never follow God with all their heart and mind and soul. And there are some of the young people in the Lord, whether they are old in age or young in age, they come to know Jesus Christ and they become completely obedient and have a faith in God and they get to grow fast in the Lord. Folks, Christian maturity has nothing to do with the amount of Bible knowledge the person can possess, but rather it has everything to do with the faith in God and complete obedience to Him in spite of the situation he or she is in. This is so important. Just because you've been in the Lord so long, that doesn't mean you are spiritually mature. Some people know the Bible inside and out, yet they don't know anything about following God. They talk and they smell like it. They look like a Christian, but they are not mature Christian. As I taught you guys before, that God instructed Moses to set up the Ark of Covenant from inside the Holy of Holies. And he started to put the articles, setting the articles on the furniture outward. So setting it start from the inside toward the outside. What can we learn from that? And that means God cares about what's inside. 1 Samuel chapter 16. When Samuel visited the house of Jesse, the father of King David, there were 7 brothers. David was not even invited when Samuel said, "I want to see your sons." 6 of them passed by. They're all good looking. But God says, while the man looked outward appearance, I looked the heart. Get this, guys. To God, our character are more important than our comfort or looks. Our character is more important. So to make the character, godly character in us, He will do whatever. Remember last time, remember when we studied last week, I talked about the second chance. God gave a second chance to the people. And they completely blew away because they don't think anything other than themselves. If that person has a God in the center of their lives, then they will not blow their second chance. They will use their second chance to glorify God. But some people never do. Let's continue in verse 16. Thus Moses said, according to all that the Lord had commanded him, so he did. And it came to pass in the first month of the second year, the first day of the month, the tabernacle was raised up. So Moses raised up the tabernacle, fastened its socket, set up the board, and put it in its bars, and raised up its pillars. And he spread out the tent over the tabernacle and put the covering of the tent on the top of it, as the Lord has commanded Moses. He took the testimony and put it in the ark and inserted the pole through the ring of the ark and put the mercy seat on the top of the ark. And he brought the ark into the tabernacle, hung up the veil of the covering, and partitioned off the ark of testimony as the Lord had commanded Moses. He put the table in the tabernacle of meeting and on the north side of the tabernacle outside the veil. And he set the bread in order to put upon it before the Lord as the Lord has commanded Moses. He put the lampstand in the tabernacle of meeting across from the table on the south side of the tabernacle. And he lit the lamp before the Lord as the Lord has commanded Moses. He put the gold altar in the tabernacle of meeting in front of the veil. And he burned the sweet incense on it as the Lord has commanded Moses. He hung up the screen at the door of the tabernacle, and he put the altar of burnt offering before the door of the tabernacle in the tent of meeting, offered upon it the burnt offering and the grain offering as the Lord had commanded Moses. He set the laver between tabernacle of meeting and the altar. put the water there for washing. And Moses, Aaron, and his son would wash their hands and their feet with water from it. And whenever they went into the tabernacle of meeting, when they came near the altar, they washed as the Lord had commanded Moses. And he raised up the court all around the tabernacle and the altar, hung up the screen of the court gate, so Moses finished the work. This chapter summarizes what pretty much the chapter 29 and 28 and 29 about the anointing the priest and anointing the whole furniture in the tabernacle meeting. Everything is done, if you remember what we just read, everything was done according to God's command. Too many sincere Christians, too many sincere people try to do God's work in their own ways. Their own ways. And somehow they're thinking that that will do, and they just ask God to bless their project, their ministry will do just fine. Ministry does not work that way. First, we have to find out what God wants us to do, and we do it to glorify Him. If we obey His will and seek to honor His name, then He will come and bless the work with His powerful presence. I think I said this before. Mom and the little child was baking a chocolate chip cookie, and it was not turning out well. So she stopped and she said, "Let's ask God to make this cookie well." And the little child said, "Shouldn't we pray before we bake the cookie?" Simple concept. Before we start to do something, and even though it's given by God, ask God to guide us. If God is not in it, it's not worth doing it. It doesn't matter what it is. According to the book of Hebrews, this tabernacle was a carbon copy of the heavenly ones. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 8, verse 4. Hebrews is located in the New Testament right between the Philemon and James, chapter 8. Verse 4, "For if he were on earth, he would not be priest, that is, Jesus Christ, since there are the priests who offer the gift according to the law, who serve the copy as a shadow of the heavenly things, as Moses was divinely instructed, and when he was about to make the tabernacle, for he said, 'See that you make all things according to the pattern shown you on the mountain.'" Since Moses was instructed to build and arrange everything according to the pattern he received from God on from Mount Sinai, all these elements are the duplicate or the symbolizing what's in heaven. Let's go to Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. By the way, Revelation is Revelation, not Revelations. Many people call it Revelations. It is not. Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. Let's read. Bless you. "After these things, I looked, and behold, a door standing upon heaven, and the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking to me, saying, 'Come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this.' Immediately I was in the spirit. Behold, a throne set in heaven." Underline throne, and then you might want to write down the Ark of Covenant. Ark of Covenant represents the throne of God. Okay? "And he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardis stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne, in appearance like an emerald. around the throne was 22 thrones. On the throne, I saw the 24 thrones and 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their head. From the throne proceeded lightning, thundering, and voice, and the seven lamps of fire. Seven lamps that we see on the south side is copied here. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne. There were seven spirits of the God. And you may say, where's the short table with the 12 bread? Remember 24 elders. They are representing 12 elders from the Old Testament and 12 elders from the New Testament. There's a 12 showbread. Let's go to chapter 8, Revelation, verse 2. Chapter 8, verse 2. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them had given seven trumpets. Then another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. That's the incense altar that we studied in the tabernacle. And came, stood at the altar, and he was given much incense that he should offer it with the prayer of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. See that? Let's go to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 23. Hebrews chapter 9, 23. Therefore, it was necessary that copies of the things in the heaven should be purified with this, but the heavenly things themselves with a better sacrifice than, note the word, better sacrifice than this, for the Christ has not entered the holy place made with the hands, which are the copies of the true, but into the heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. In other words, until the Christ came to the cross and made himself to be a perfect sacrifice, anointed one, made atonement, until then the priest was doing play acting, to pointing the finger to the cross. You with me? Do you understand what I'm saying? What they've done is for the entire time in the wilderness and until the temple was taken away by the Roman people in the 70 AD, they were practicing and play acting what Jesus would do on the cross. Let's go to chapter 40 of Exodus in the last few verses. 34, verse 34. Then the cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle, and Moses was not able to enter the tabernacle of meeting because the cloud rested above it. And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle, and whenever the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle, and children of Israel would go onward on all their journeys. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not journey until the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was above the tabernacle by day, and fire was over it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. The climax of this dedication service was the revelation of the glory of God. The glory of God was the Shekinah glory came down to the tabernacle. And it was residing right on top. And also the cloud went inside of the tabernacle. Now, it was so strong that even Moses could not enter. Have you ever been in that kind of situation when you had your own experience with God so near you can feel His presence right in front of you? Only reason why you don't have that is because you do not ask Him. Remember what the word says. If you seek me with all your heart, what does it say? I will be found by you. This is not for somebody who is special. This is not for the pastor. This is not for the elders. This is not for the deacons. This is for everyone. If you don't have it, you need to have it. You need to have that first contact experience with God alone. You can do it anywhere. It can be in the middle of the crowded restaurant. You can meet Him anywhere if you desire so. While you're studying the Word, you can meet Him. While you're praying, you can meet Him. When we put the God in the center of our lives and focus on Him first, before anything else, everything else will start to fall into right place. Everything else will start falling into right place. This is said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. It says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things will be added unto you." Seek first. Not your selfish desire. As I said before, the only reason why the people are not dedicated as they should be in Christ Jesus because they become selfish and God is not center of their lives. No matter how fancy the building is, remember, this tabernacle cost them $13 million. If we had a $13 million, probably we would have a best-looking building in this area and Green Valley. Honest goodness. However, the church building is not a church building unless God is in it. If I name that church building, probably you know it's made out of glass and it's in California. Is God in there? No, it's not. Why? Because they choose not to have a God in the presence. There's many denominations choose not to have a God in their presence, in their service, in their church. Because they're so busy with the church, their own denominational tradition. They're so busy trying to please socially and politically correctness. And they're trying so hard to be popular, psychosensitive. God is not in that psychosensitive church. God is not in the politically and socially correct church. Certainly, God is not in a fancy church who doesn't want Him. But God will be where you seek Him with all your heart and mind and soul. Revelation chapter 3, please. Do you know what kind of situation we are in America? American church, this is the situation. Chapter 3, verse 16, please. This is Jesus speaking. This is about the church of Laodicea. "So then, because you are lukewarm, neither cold or hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth." It makes the God's stomach sick. How bad can it be so the God would literally pick you out? I don't want to be picked out by God. I want to be loved by God. How can I do that? Love Him. Seek Him. This not only applies to the church in general, but also it applies individually. It does not matter how much a person has in his possession. If that person does not have God in their life, he has nothing. It doesn't matter how the religious and faithful he or she is in the ministry. If the believer of Jesus Christ does not have God in their center and his or her life, the ministry and the faith is not productive and bring no glory to Him. This concludes the book of Exodus, study of Exodus. It's a great book. It opened with a gloom on the brickyard where the slavery was rampaging. And now they are in the midst of the presence of God. Folks, you might start it that way. But you can always step right into the presence of God and enjoy His presence. God wants to deliver you from the hopelessness. God wants to deliver you from this having no joy. You can have fun without God. You can have a life on the earth without God. But they are empty. Because they are self-centered. But if you put God in the center, don't let this word go from one year to another year, please. Let the next year be different. Time is near. Folks, time is so near you can smell it. I'm not the one who would set the date of rapture. I'm not that stupid. I know I'm stupid, but I'm not that stupid. I wouldn't set the date, but according to the Bible, we will know the time, and we will know the season. The Lord is coming back soon. What are you going to do while He's coming? Are you going to be ready, or are you going to be caught off guard? Let me ask you this. Why would you be caught off guard when God has everything laid out in front of you? Doesn't make sense to me. Let's make three applications. Number one, it doesn't matter how much the person has it in his possession. If he doesn't have a God in his life, he has nothing. Number two, it doesn't matter how religious and faithful he or she is in the ministry, in his ministry, if that the believer of Jesus Christ does not have a God in the center of life, his ministry and faith is not productive and bring no glory to him. Third, it doesn't matter how much Bible knowledge one person can have. If that person does not have God in the center of life, that person is not spiritually mature. Spiritual maturity only comes from the faith in God and complete obedience. I said complete obedience in Him. There is no other way. And the spiritual maturity can be only measured when nobody is looking at you. Behind the closed door, when nobody's looking, that's when the spiritual maturity can be measured by God. Let's stand up and pray.